Chapel Service, February 4, 1982. Speaker, Dr. Charles Ward, Pastor, First Baptist Church, Raleigh.
Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, saith the Lord. Come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your substance for that which satisfieth not? We shall sing the hymn number 464, Where Cross the Crowded Ways of Life.
Let us pray together. Father, we pause for a moment now to give thanks for you being there and for you being here and everywhere, for the privilege of being a part of Christian ministry, for thinking about the good times and the good things that happen to us. We're grateful today for food and clothing and shelter, so many things that give us security in this world. Above all, for the presence of thy Spirit that directs us along life's way. Help us not to forget that there is a crowded way of life out there and that people are hurting. And we pause to pray for those who are hurting. We don't fully understand about events in El Salvador. We don't understand about the suffering in Poland. And Father, we don't quite grasp the problems in the Mideast and the struggling nations of Africa. And when we get up and have so much warmth and food and comfort, we have to remind ourselves that we have a place of service for the crowded ways of life. We pray today that we might grow in grace and knowledge of what you want us to do and how you want us to go about doing it. To be mindful that we're not only called, but we are indeed sent. And help us now to grasp that sentness and to be about the business of getting there as quickly as possible, as well prepared as possible, as dedicated as possible. May thy will be done today as we gather here to worship. We offer a special prayer for Dr. Charles Ward and his concern for those who are secure and those who are hurting. We're grateful for his ministry. Bless him as he shares with us this day and all of us to share with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a personal privilege this morning to introduce a friend of many years and a fellow minister of Jesus Christ, Dr. Charles Ward, who since 1959 has been the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Raleigh. Dr. Ward is one who ministers to his people in the totality of their lives, who sees that the structures of society can both help and hurt people, and whether he is working through the Wake County chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or whether he is working in the task of providing better housing for people in Raleigh, or whether he is working with us in the Seminar on Urban Studies, or serving as the co-chairperson with Dr. Mark Kortz of Winston-Salem, who represents the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, and Dr. Ward, the Baptist General Convention of North Carolina, in planning and promoting the Here's Hope evangelistic campaign in this year. Dr. Charles Ward is a good minister of Jesus Christ. He grew up in the Deep South, went to school at Morehouse College, was a member of the great Ebenezer Baptist Church, and was ordained by Dr. M.L. King, Sr. We welcome him to this service today, and after the choir sings, we will hear the message of God through Dr. Ward.
Dr. Bland, President Lally, members of the faculty, allow me to thank my friend, Dr. Corbin Cooper, for giving me a ride in a clean car, and for being my friend across many years. I want to tell you something right quick, because we Black Baptists can't preach in 15 minutes. Take us that long to get warmed up, President Lally. My mouth got me into this. Tuesday of last week, we had a dinner on campus with the black seminarians, and I, President Lawley said at conclusion of the meeting, Brother Ward, don't you have something to say? I said, yes, I have something to say. And then I said in a minute or two, and then I said something to the effect that the seminary can't tell me how to say it. You just tell me what to say. And that got me into this. The next day I was called and asked, will you come over and say it next Thursday? I wish they had removed it a little from the time. Maybe some of you would have forgot that. But I'm delighted to share with you, and I bring you greetings from First Baptist and from our joint Baptist concern. We are concerned about the 2 million plus individuals in North Carolina who do not call our Lord his Lord or her Lord. Brother Mark Kurtz is on fire for the Lord, and it has been a joy working with him and Brother Cooper and others. Brother Cooper and I have traveled across many miles trying to promote this program, and I suppose one of the highlights of my experience, he put me on program to preach at Sand Hill Association, and it was a very rewarding experience. And I look forward to sharing with you in these next few moments. Among the many instructors that I had in college and in seminary, the late Dr. Howard Thurman stands out, sort of head and shoulders above others. Perhaps it is because of the fact that he went home to be with the Lord just last year. And I was reading his autobiography with head and heart at the time. And I was on a vacation, and I was down in Goldsboro in a motel, and I came across a passage in his book by which he used to live, and he would come into class. He's a mystic, if you know him, you recall. He would come in class sometime and just prop his foot on the sill of the window and look out of the window and lecture for 45 minutes, and we'd be afraid to breathe for fear that we'd miss something he said. And we'd rush out of class if it were not his class and get down on the steps just to have a chance to chat with him a few moments, because there was something about his spirit that sort of got with you. And I started trying to tell my secretary about this yesterday as I was working on the message for today, and I had to just walk out and go back to my office. In his book, The Inward Journey, as he meditates on the spiritual quest, he writes, "Sell your dreams before you ride them. Sometimes they seem to be the cry of the heart for boundless and the unexplored. Often they are fashioned too vital to die, out of hankerings fed by hidden springs in the dark places of the spirit. Often they are the offsprings of hope that can never be realized and longings that can never find fulfillment. But sell your dreams before you ride them." J.B. Phillips expresses a thought which I would like to use as a scriptural text taken from the 12th chapter of Romans and the second verse. "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all of his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity." And for a theme, I want to borrow a line of prose from The Blue Cat of Castletown. "Sing your own song." Our God calls on us to sing our song, especially those committed to the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he wants us to have a song. And I want to say that in this small community, a seminary, assembled on these few acres here, if you cannot cross ethnic lines, this is my premise, if you cannot associate one with another, you don't even have a song. you can't sing because you don't have a song. And I think that this is one of the things that Jesus Christ can help us to do. And I can say it because there was a time that I just didn't like white folk. There was a time when I couldn't stand drunks. There was a time when I had nothing to do with people who were gay or lesbian. And there was a time when I was afraid of dead folk. And I finally said, Lord, if I'm going to be a preacher, I've got to get rid of all this mess. And God helped me to come across all of that so that, Dr. Bland, I worked for the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention for some years in Winston-Salem. And that was the turning point, I think, in my life. And I learned to know that God has some good folk in all groups and some bad devils in all groups. But if we can't walk across lines, if we can't walk and have a meal together over at the dining hall, there's something wrong with the seminary. It hadn't shot from toy. And there's something wrong with our religion. All right, let's go on from there. Sing your song. Have a song to sing. Our God calls on us to be rebels, to fight against the pull of the world, to conform us, and to put us at one with the world, so that there is no tension between the world and the believers of Christ Jesus. In other words, it calls unto us, be at ease in Zion, so that when you go to bed at night, you can sleep peacefully all night. Don't need to have any tension in your soul. You don't need to be disturbed about the world affairs. Don't need to be disturbed about the uncommitted and the unsaved. Don't need to be worried about that. Go to sleep. Sleep all night long. Wake up refreshed in the morning and have no tension in your soul. You don't need to have hypertension. It's a matter of living at ease. But there is a word in this text, and I'd like to refer to the Revised Standard Version. I think that's one of the best versions, notwithstanding. I love King James, too. I just can't read it well. And this is be transformed. Be transformed. Now, this means a metamorphosis, a change, a lifting up, a lifting out of, so that you are renewed and you become something different to what you were because of the fact you had contact with the Master at a level. It's a lifting up out of, a metamorphosis. It's a changing. The best that I can come to what I think my heart wants to say at this time, it's a transfiguration. So that it should read, be ye transfigured, so that your countenance, your outward appearance, takes on a different countenance, so that when men look at you, it's not seeing what you were, it's not seeing what you used to be, but it is seeing a different countenance. And you're free from the pull of this world, and you can sing your own song. Sing. Sing. Sing your own song. Now, don't let this world pull you down little by little so that you gradually lose your alertness and your spiritual dynamic. But be ye transfigured, be transfixed so that your spiritual life becomes like granite, like a stone, like the rock of Gibraltar. Sing your own song. Sing and sing. Now, Paul puts this another way on another occasion. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And he is a new creature because he is a new creation. He has been recreated. Well, we call it recreation. He has been recreated. He has been made over. He has been lifted out of, and he has been placed on another plane. He is a new creature. And he goes on to say, all old things are done away, and behold, things are become new. Passed away. What is it? I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. A new creature. A new creature. This is because of something that happens on the inside through God. He remolds our mind. As such, God does not give us a mind to fear. He gives us a mind of conviction. The people who call us to be their pastors and their spiritual leaders are perhaps more skeptical than non-believers. So the most careful folk in the world can be church folk. But pastor, don't be careful. We have a building so old, needs to be toned down. Talk to Dr. McCormick, church planning department, and he was sort of easing up on me. He said, you know, whenever renovation, the cost of renovating, gets 60% and above, we recommend tearing it down and starting all over. He said, now let's look at these structural defects. Let's look at these cracks. He said, at most you got an old building, and if you renovate it, you just got an old building that got some plaster and paint on it. But you know, when I got to the building committee, they said, Pastor, these times? I said, what are these times? Maybe we ought to think about, if at best, renovating one floor, or building one floor. I said, you said that 14 years ago. Most careful folk in the world, you know. They call us to be leaders, and then they don't want us to lead. They pay us to lead and won't let us lead. Won't follow. But sometimes we are more afraid than they. When I came to First Baptist Church, the balcony was falling down, Dr. Bland. They said, well, you know, we're going to borrow too much money because we don't know how you can get a loan. And we don't know how much debt to go in with you. I said, that's right, and I don't know how you're going to pay, so I don't want to go in too much debt with you either. Well, at that time, our budget was $28,000. We adopted a budget of $290,000 this year in 22 years. It's not what it ought to be. Dr. Sandusky, thank God it isn't what it was. Now, my salary hasn't doubled that many times, I'll assure you. I need another job now. Too often the ministers of the gospel and pastors of the churches are more afraid to lead than people are to follow. Was it not Bonhoeffer who said that when God calls a man, he bids him come and die? 12 men went to spy out the land. 10 looked at other men just as they were and developed a grasshopper mentality. We can't do it. We look like grasshoppers in that thing. The man with one talent said, Lord, I was afraid. I was afraid. I didn't put your money to usury because I was afraid. But I want you to look with me at another man who experienced an inward renewal. This was the demented man I mentioned at dinner the other evening, who was across the Sea of Gennesaret. He was wild and demented. He was raging. He was naked. He couldn't keep any clothes on. They couldn't tie him. They couldn't bind him with chains. He broke them. But nobody seemed to care. Nobody went looking for him. He was there in the cemetery. And I said he was in the right place because he was spiritually dead. He was in the right place. He was in good company. He was spiritually dead. And Dr. Howard Thurman, whom I quoted earlier, said when Jesus said, what is your name? And this man had to cue because to give one's name was to give them authority. He could become an exorcist. And that would allow them to exercise power and authority over. So he said, I don't know my name, and that's what's really driving me crazy. Not to know who I am is driving me crazy. And Bob Wilson, a friend of mine in Dallas, Texas, said, the man didn't know who he was because he didn't know whose he was. That if the man had known for one moment whose he was, I know that my father was named Willie Ward. Therefore, I know that my name is Charles W. Ward, and it stands for Charles Willie Ward. If I can think of my father's name, I know who I am. And this man didn't know who he was because he didn't know whose he was. This was a demented man, unable to be tamed, dwelling in the cemetery because he too was dead, barefooted but unashamed. Now when Jesus healed him, he saw his physical nakedness and became ashamed. And somebody picked him a robe, and he put it on himself and sat down calmly at the feet of Jesus. And for the first time, Dr. Lawley, folk were afraid of him. Corbin, as long as he was wild and demented, nobody cared. Yes. Nobody went looking for him. But when he sat calmly at the feet of Jesus Christ, people became afraid of him. Amen, preacher. Seems to me that our churches are too much like that. As long as people are raging with dope and young people's lives are being destroyed and people are hungry, nobody cares. As long as international relationships are over there somewhere, as long as people are being hungry and starving over there somewhere, nobody cares. And preachers, as long as we can get good salaries and have two cars and a big parsonage and all expenses paid, nobody cares. And all the time, my Lord is calling, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Those are the standards of the world. Those are not the standards of my children. Sing your song. Tell the folk that I'm concerned about the demented, the down and the out. Tell them I care terribly. Well, I end this with a story that someone told me about Jesus at 12 years of age. They said that when the parents of Jesus came back looking for him, and they found him there with the doctors and the lawyers, that Jesus was baffling them because he was asking and answering questions that nobody seemed to have known how he could have gotten this answer. And so they looked at him and they said, what is your name? He said, on my mother's side it's Jesus, but on my father's side it's Emmanuel. And they said, well, now wait a minute, you're too young to have the knowledge. How old are you? He said, on my mother's side I'm 12 years of age, but on my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. And then they said, well, wait a minute. If you're claiming all of this, what do you have? What is your dowry? What is in your background? On what do you sit? What do you own? And he said, now, on my mother's side, you've seen the birds are there. They have a nest. I don't have that. The foxes of the field, they have a hole. I don't have it. But on my father's side, I'm rich. In houses and in land, he holds the wealth of the world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. I have riches untold. Sing your song. Sing it and sing. Get the facts straight as Southeastern can give them to you, and don't play with it because they got it. And get it while you're here, because let me promise you, when you get out there, the folk aren't going to give you time to read what you're supposed to read now. Don't tell these teachers I'm going to get there when I got it. I got the history of the Jewish people as I was leaving. Dr. Leon Wright said to me, Mr. Ward, I can't stand before a congregation and preach like you, but you preach for me when you get out there. He said, I want you to have, see, you ought to go on and get the PhD degree. I said, Doc, I'm going to get out here and pass now. He said, well, tell the story right. I've never been able to read that book. I scan it sometime for pages to get a reference. So get it now. You won't have time when you get out there. Sing your song. But make sure you get the tune right. be sure that you have a song to sing. Thanks for letting me come. May we stand for the benediction. The grace of our Lord and of his Christ be with you now and forever. In his name we pray. Amen.